Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful, Sal. How are you?
Well, I'm doing awesome. Considering the weather, it's a little bit rainy today.
It is.
At least we haven't been out chasing cattle like our guest in the in the podcast room. We have with us back today, returning guest, our resident expert on livestock production, is Ryan Batt, and he's the facility manager at Yorktown. Little York. Not yep. Yorktown, but yeah, Little
York. I was going to say Yorktown. Yorktown. You're from my country.
Yeah, right. Little York, United Producers. But before we get any farther, we have to do the question of the day. This is what our listeners shows. They watch like 3 minutes of our podcast, and then they get the question of the day. Yeah. But the question of the day today is, Ryan, what is the best prank, if you can just pick one, what is the best prank that you've ever planned or experienced?
Yeah, I don't know if I could probably tell you the best one, and just off the top of my head, probably kind of keep it livestock related, I guess. There has been a few times where, you know, we've been known to have some cattle get out of our facilities and stuff like that. So I think one of the best pranks I had was one time it was kind of just in the middle of the sale or something like that. And we were selling along, and I was like, man, it's just kind of dull. Like, there's, you know, we get in that spot in the auction where there's the dead time, I guess you might say, where it's just like an auctioneer noise, and like, you know, the buyers are kind of nodding their heads a little bit. And, you know, some guys are thinking about going and getting a sandwich or something. And we was just kind of at that dead time, and the cattle was kind of, I'm going to guess they was 5 to 10 cents cheaper than what they was at the start of the
just
sale.
Just from the slowdown.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I was like, man, I got to do something. We got to get something going on here. And I was like, I don't hang on, stop. We got to stop. The cows are out. There's cows out, you know? And so anyways, so we shut down, you know, and you know, it's, we got a lot of good people, you know, the people that come to the sale barn, the buyers and the employees and stuff. I mean, the first thing we do, we have a perimeter fence around our barn, but obviously the first thing you do is you go shut the front gates.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Hopefully nothing gets out, because if they get out from the sale barn, they probably don't hit a fence until they get here. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a long ways, but anyways, you know, we just say, I guess the cow's out. You know, everybody kind of gets up and takes off running and come back, and they're like, what's out? And I was like, oh, they got it caught. And they're like, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's kind of a prank, but it was also kind of one of those things. Again, you know, we come back in there and start selling, we get through the sale, and it, you know, it's all done. And one guy, I remember he was a long time buyer and bought probably 90% of the sale. And he goes, was there really any cows out? And I said, no, but I just had to do something. And he's like, well, that was pretty smart. And I was like, well, I just, you know.
But, so if we could go back and look at the prices on that day, you can see the dip and then the spike right afterwards.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do a graph on that one. Yeah.
We know these are good cows. They're trying to get out.
Yeah, but it was only my cattle that sold during the dip, so everybody else has brung a very good price.
Those are also the four fastest words to get a guy out of bed in the morning, too. The cows are out.
Yeah, the cows are out. Yeah.
You had another one with the buffalo that escaped or something. Didn't you have a herd of buffalo at one time?
We had a buffalo get out. I bought a couple buffaloes, and I turned them out, and they was running with my cows, and we had a storm or something come through, and I had a buffalo before this, and she always every day goes to the gates and checks the gates to see if they're open. Okay, since then our buffalo had passed. She passed last winter
when
it got cold, but she was 11-12 years old. But every day she would walk to a gate that we drove through on the tractor and checked it. She would take her horns and head and push it, and if it came open, she was going to get out. Every day. So anyways, they had these two that we brung in there, and they got out. And my dad, he was actually combining soybeans in the field, and he called and he said, hey, your buffalo are over here.
Oh my gosh.
And I led them buffalo with a bucket of feed all the way to the barn.
Oh, wow.
But they would not walk through that gate. And then me and my dad proceeded to chase them on our Kawasaki mules, trying to get them with the cows or something.
Yeah.
And from hurtling over cars that was going 45, I mean, they would just jump over the cars in the road. And
I heard it was wild.
Yeah. And then they would go, I mean, it wasn't like they would walk through a fence. They would just go through the fence. And I could just tell that, like, you know, I probably better do something about this. And anyways, it was one of those things where what do you do? What do you do? And so we ended up putting them down. But like you say, who would have thought you could, you know, dad's running, you know, the combine down the road, you know, the rows, you know, shelling beans in the buffalo and me and a buck is just walking through there. You know, it's kind of awkward. Yeah.
Oh, so it had a sad ending. Way to bring it up.
Well, no. They were good.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a butcher, so it was all right.
Had buffalo burgers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Jeff, what is your, of the many pranks that you've probably been involved in, I've experienced on the receiving end of some of them. So
we've had some good ones.
Yeah.
But in the spirit of trying not to get our show canceled, I'll stick
since
to,
we're on probation anyway.
And this is not really a prank, so to speak, but it's been several years ago now. My parents, they lived in the Memphis area, down just across the line in Mississippi, and it was Christmas Eve, and so I had my immediate family, which I've got a passel of kids.
Heard.
Yeah, you've heard. So we're sitting there, it's Christmas Eve, and my mom and dad, my sisters and nieces and nephews are all down at their house in the Mississippi area. And it's about 6.5 hour drive. And this is like 11 o'clock at night. And I looked at my kids. I go, want a road trip? We'll go down to Mamaw and Papaw's. And everybody's like, let's do it. So
it wasn't planned.
We drove through the night and we got there about 6:30 in the morning and we just busted in the front door and, you know, most of them were asleep. You know, I think my mom was back in the shower and, so we just come in and like surprise and, we got them. It was great.
That was Christmas Eve day.
Yeah. Well, we got there on Christmas morning.
Yeah,
so we walked through the door, you know, the door on Christmas morning and stuff and
cool
they were all
that?
Screaming and crying. Well, everybody knows we're there except my mom. She's still back in the shower. And so my dad's trying to get her to come out. So, and she had started cooking something. And so he keeps going back there going, Lita, you got to get out here. And she's getting aggravated with him because he keeps going, I don't know what I'm doing. You got to come here. You know, he's doing whatever to get her out of there. And she's about half aggravated. Well, she walks out and there we stand. The tears. It was awesome. So one of our better surprises.
That's like a Christmas, one of them Hallmark types.
Yeah, that's Hallmark stuff.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That's awesome.
So in the spirit of coming up on Christmas here, I'll tell that story.
That's a good one. I don't know. Mine was, trying to think of some. And I had bought a new backhoe back in 20.
You've got excavating equipment?
Yes.
He's got multiple excavating equipment.
Well, I had bought this backhoe. It was beautiful. Just delivered it. And Kate was at, they had a, gosh, this would have been 21. So she was in elementary school still. And they had a math bowl or something. Something was going on at school. And Kim came down and we had just got the backhoe delivered. I was with her with the salesman and she goes, well, I'm going to go get Kate. And I was like, well, I'll go get her. I was like, I'll take the backhoe over there and pick her up. And she goes, you better not. And I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. So, and it is a nice backhoe. It's got ride control, you know, where you just scoot right on down the road. And we only live about a mile and a half, 2 miles from the school. So it's not very far. Anyway, so I get over to the school in the backhoe and pull in. And it's like I'm getting in the line to pick up the kids. And if you've ever been to elementary or something to pick up kids, it's like minivan, SUV, then backhoe, and then like minivan, you know. And so the time they let one kid out at a time or something, and then the child would come out and leave. And so I pull up and then, Mr. Rosenbaum, Tom yells back in there and kind of laughs and gets Kate to come out. And she comes out and stops and her jaw dropped and she didn't know what to do. She didn't want to come to the backhoe to get in. So she kind of walked like a circle to try to like, and then she just hung her head and just walked out and wouldn't even look at me, got up in the cab.
You need to do that again sometime when she's in high school.
That'd
be good to do. Like
that'd be a good senior year.
That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice touch. I'll do that one.
I want to make sure Amity ain't listening to this, because she'll tell Kate.
I got a picture of her because she would even smile until we got at least halfway home. I was like, hey, this is the nicest thing in the pickup line.
She wasn't impressed, huh?
Not at all. Yeah. Just mortified. If you can imagine how embarrassed a kid can be.
It's about like me when I pull up from my truck and trailer and there's a load of cows on the back. Yes. And like, there's Ryan.
Okay, well, let's see. Well, Ryan, it seems like the last time we had you on here, I mean, things were, my freezer beef was pretty expensive.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, I think so. I don't know how many times we've been on here for a couple of years for sure, but this must be the Cattle Market's Good Luck Charm, his premier company's podcast, because every time we've been on, it's getting better. So, I tell you,
it was like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was episode 142, and you're like, boy, I tell you, things are good.
It is good. I mean, it is, you know, I guess you get to the point to where, you know, how good is good, but, you know, looking back on it, I was just trying to think on the way here, you know, I was trying to compare stuff and try to think about, you know, what we could talk about and what the difference was about stuff. And, you know, I kind of reminisce back, you know, when I was a kid, one of my favorite tractors that we have on our farm is a 966 tractor we bought from your dad.
Yeah.
And that's right. My grandpa bought that off your dad when he kind of quit farming and slowed down. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, when we bought that 966 tractor, I don't know what we gave for it. Maybe we gave $10,000 for it, and corn was $2.50 a bushel. Yeah,
right.
And so, like, you know, it's,
which now, is good for the day.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess that was in 1980 something or another.
Yeah. It'd have been a long time.
So now we're looking at 2024, getting ready to hit 25, and corn's what? Same price, kind of. Oh, well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, you know, the tractor's worth way more. The corn's worth the same. And, you know, it's just kind of like one of those things that, you know, you kind of try to tie stuff together. And, you know, the cattle market has always just been a certain amount and certain amount. And, you know, we hear the stories, the old timers come in and say, oh yeah, we bought a whole load of cattle, they cost 13 cents a pound. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, 13, yeah. What was wrong with them? And they're like, oh no, that was the best. They was the best ones there. I'm like, there's no way, you know? So, you know, I hear a lot of those stories and stuff, and you just try to reminisce and relate to stuff and try to get it to where you can break it down simple to talk to people about. And, you know, it's just like, it's no different than, you know, like at that same time when we may have bought that tractor for $10,000 and corn was $2.50 a bushel, you know, what really sticks in your mind is the middle part of it. You know, it seemed like we never had any money.
Yeah. You know,
today it seems like we never have any money. But how are we making it? You know, like, how are we making it? So I think it's just a process of, you know, obviously the cost of living's more, the cost of inputs are way more. So, you know, you got to have your ups and downs and to manage your market and to call out stuff that doesn't need to be there. But, you know, I think on this cattle market, the market is just so strong right now that people are just looking at it like, hey, this is exciting. This is fun. We're making money. We're actually getting in to something, or we're actually, you know, showing profit off of our what we've did for years and years. And we're getting to see a lot more people right now, you know, putting cattle back into operations that haven't had them before.
Okay.
How long do you think this current cattle cycle is going
to
last?
You know, I tell you, it's hard to say, because I think I may have mentioned this earlier in my first podcast, but 20 years ago, you could predict what's going to happen. Like I could tell you, I've worked with United Producers for 24 years, and I could probably tell you in the first 8 years I worked for them what was going to happen the next year. I could tell you when you was going to sell your cattle. I could tell you when Sal was going to sell his. And now it's kind of one of those things that, you know, we used to say that, let's say this time of year, we're in the middle of December, you know, that was the time you didn't sell cattle. Well, we had a sale yesterday and they was just as high as they was in, you know, probably in August, September. So, you know, they're not as high as they was, but then you got to look at your surrounding geographical, you know, we're moving cattle farther away. We're moving cattle, hitting cattle in Canada. We're moving cattle, you know, from Mexico up here. And, you know, like this time of year, they want to get, you know, in Kansas and so forth down that way. They got the wheat out. So, you know, the wheat's starting to come up and they're going to want them little grass calves. So, you know, there's a couple of guys that's told me, you know, in the West that you can't buy those calves too high. This is what I'm going to tell you. Whenever you look at the past couple of weeks, when you see the three weight steers bringing $5 a pound, I kind of got to look at that and say, is this real? You know, and you know, even on your bigger cattle, your 7-8 weight steers bringing $3 a pound in, you know, South Dakota, Montana, stuff like that. You look at it and you say, is this real? Because, you know, everybody can look at the Board of Trade and say, how is this going to work? How's this going to work? But, you know, like I say, the input costs are a little bit cheaper. Corn's a little bit cheaper. So can we put more money into cattle? How fast can we do it? Our genetics are better than what they was years ago. So, you know, there's a lot of things that tie into it. But I think it's exciting in the cattle market right now.
Yeah.
That, you know, we talk about the cow numbers going down. So you're saying guys are starting to get back into it. You know, how long is it going to take to build this cow herd back up? How low did it get? Do you know?
You know, they say that, you know, I don't know the exact numbers in front of me right now, but they say they're at a record low on the numbers that's actually out there right now. And you about have to believe that, because we've had floods, fires, drought. We've had all kinds
every
of
combination.
Weather related yeah. type stuff to push the people out. Then, you know, one of the biggest things you deal with right now is the age of the farmer. You know, whenever grandpa gets done, he wants to sell those cows, or the corn planters want to come in because corn hit $6 or $7. You know, the fences went down. Well, to build that same fence, we've all built fence.
Oh, yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you know,
and everybody loves doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing worse is when your neighbor builds a border fence. That's the only thing worse.
Yeah. So you got a fence there to maintain, and, you know, and it's not easy. It's, you know, I compare. You know, like on my end of the deal, on our farm that we have, like I do a lot of livestock and very little grain. My dad and my brother, they do a lot of grain and they still do the livestock. So I try to compare stuff to where, like, I understand it better on my end of it. So on my end of it, I'm dealing in livestock. So I got to think about, I got to build that fence. I got to buy that feed. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's to where on their end of it, you know, they're doing both entities of it. But they have to make everything balance. And so it's harder. It's probably harder on their end than it is on my end, or it would be harder on a grain farmer end versus a, you know, where you mingle stuff together. Then when you get stuff together, of course, when you're wanting to plant corn, you're needing to wrap hay, or whenever you're wanting to bale hay, you need to be side dressing corn, or, you know, so it's, sure. It's kind of one of those things is, how do you manage your time? How do you manage your inputs and your costs to do this? But I think whenever you get it boiled down to it, the farmers that have cattle right now and grain are using the cattle to kind of supplement their losses on kind of some of the grain.
There's because, pretty good cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like for the area that we're, the geographical area that we're in right now in Southern Indiana, you get into Northern Indiana also, you get a lot of feedlots. And some of those guys that haven't had cattle in those feedlots for years are thinking, hey, maybe we ought to buy some steers and get rid of some of this cheap corn. So, you know, that's another positive thing. So the cow-calf numbers are low, but I think the numbers as far as keeping cattle local, doing a lot more local beef and stuff like that, I think those numbers are going to start picking up.
That's I've got some buddies out west and just, you know, some of their, you know, their bread sales, you know, selling bread cows. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they had this set in South Dakota of bred heifers bringing like $4,200 or something like that. And these are commercial. These are not show cattle we talked about earlier or anything like that. I mean, so, but, you know, and I tried to tell a guy, a good friend of mine, he buys a lot of cows from me. And I said, you know, it's similar to whenever you was paying $1,200 and your cow was worth $600. You know, it's you still got to figure that calf's going to be worth $1,500. The cow's still got to be worth $1,500. So you're $3,000 for the pair. But mentally in your mind, you're sitting there thinking, I ain't no way I'm giving $3,000 for a pair. You know, that I'm going to go broke, you know. But whenever you look at the big scheme of it, it's like you asked earlier, how long will this cycle last? I don't know if you could ever it's one bad news article away. It's one, you know, person that does the wrong thing and gets on the news. It's just one thing away from breaking to where it would go to a spot that we don't want it to go back to. So like I say, there's a lot of animal husbandry goes in there and a lot of care.
Yeah.
You know, we always got to remember what we're doing, you know, cause nowadays it's easy to pick one of these cell phones up and, you know, take a picture or something.
That's exactly right.
Well, one of those pranks that we talked about earlier that we're not supposed to be doing. You know? Yeah.
But it's and speaking of that, I mean, it's, you're right. I never thought about that, but it seems like the demand never really dropped. It seemed like the demand held so strong.
You know, that's what's amazing to me is I kind of look at the, you know, we just tease you about the locker plant stuff. Okay. So, you know, like right now it's going to cost you I'm going to guess it's going to cost you $3,000 to $3,200 to get a steer in the locker plant and harvested.
Yeah.
And that's packaged. And then it's your responsibility to get your deep freeze and fill it up and all that stuff. So, you know, I just on average, how many soccer moms are going to go buy a $3,000 cow and put in their freezer?
Yeah.
Even though that's cheaper than probably all the meat they're going to buy for the whole year.
It's just such a but big outlet. But it's just
one, you know, one outlet. So then you think, okay, well, that kind of shuts that down. But I get calls every day, people wanting, you know, put steers in, halves here, quarter here, whatever, you know, and that's fine. That's great. But, you know, like what about the hog prices right now? So the hog prices are just kind of floating up and down everywhere. You never really know where the hog thing is going to be. And the hog thing's more of a contracted out deal. So, you know, and that too, you know, that's cheap meat. You know, I went to the JC store, I guess it was Monday, and I was buying the whole pork loins for, I think it was $2.49 a pound. So you get a whole pork loin for like $8 to $12. Well, a whole pork loin will feed a lot of people.
Yes, it will.
You know, sure, it'll surely feed your family. I don't, even if there's six or seven of you in there, that one pork loin will feed your family.
Yeah.
And so, and then if you have a family of three or four, you know, it's 2 days worth of food. So, you know, versus that T-bone steak.
That whole lip-on loin that costs $215.
Right, yeah. You buy the cattle loin at $200. You buy the pig loin at $15. Which one are you going to buy?
Yeah,
I had to experience. We just did this last week. I had a young cow, one of my better cows, didn't breed back. And so I thought, I'm just going to have her put on a hamburger. So I called, got her in the locker. Meat was done last Monday. And so now I'm telling my wife, like, you know, she goes, what are you going to do with all those hamburgers? Well, I said, kids, you know, our adult kids, you know, they used to come home and, you know, just be like, rob the freezer.
Yeah.
But I said, well, the kids will need some. Then just put it on Facebook, sell some of your friends, you know, some hamburger. And she goes, well, she starts rattling off. Three of our kids just put meat in the freezer. She goes, they don't need it. They just, you know, they just had a, you know, quarter or half done. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
So I said, well, put it on Facebook. See, anybody wants to buy some. We got 555 pounds of hamburger. Mm-hmm. In an hour and a half, and my wife's got quite the following. In an hour and a half, she had enough orders for 857 pounds of hamburger.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
When I originally told her, I said, she goes, what price? I said, $6. I'd heard a guy that said he was selling it for $6 a pound. She goes, that's too high. I can go to, you know, XYZ company locker, and I can buy a hamburger, 10-pound, you know, for $4.50. I said, do it $5, then I don't care. And so hour and a half, she's more than sold out.
Right.
I'm like, okay, here's your economics lesson. Yes. Should ask $6.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, I get the question every day, what do you price your hamburger at? And I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of access to animals that need to be going on to slaughter, or cows that are get down, you know, even our location or our house or anything like that. And, you know, I price mine roughly right at that $5 too. And I think in the month of, I think it was September, October or something, you know, I sold like 3,400 pounds of hamburger. And it's one of those, I didn't try to sell it. There was just people just calling me, hey, can we get hamburger? Can we get hamburger? Can we get hamburger? You know, and then you look at like, well, you know, I sold $15,000 worth of hamburger. You know, it's like, whoa. You know,
well, it's so much better than, why is that? I mean, it's just like,
I think it's because, one thing is, and I think it's one of the biggest thing is the mindset of it. The mindset of it is I went to my buddy Sal's and I got me,
I know where,
you
know, it came,
you
know, from.
You know, and it was his old cow, you know, and you know, them good old guys down there, you know, they take care of their stuff and, you know, that stuff. So that's a mindset. And then you get another thing on the mindset is, you know, Jeff's wife, you know, we went over to the ball game there tonight and seen her, and, you know, I hadn't seen her for a long time. She got this hamburger for sale, and that gave me another chance to talk to her 20 more minutes or so. You know, like it's a little bit of a
social
event, I guess you might say, especially when you put the social media into it. And that's how all my stuff gets. So I don't even have Facebook, and I'm selling hamburger like crazy. Just people just text me or Snapchat me or something. Just always want hamburger. And, you know, but here's the catch to it. I think we can sell hamburger all day long. But whenever they say, hey, Ryan, can you get me 20 steaks? You know, and just like we said, that loin's going to cost me $250. Yeah. So, and you can get them on sale. There's a lot of places that have them on sale and stuff like that this time of year for the, you know, the holidays. But, you know, if you think about that, well, would you rather go to my house and get 30 pounds of hamburger for $5 a pound? Or would you rather come to my house and
get four steaks?
You know? Yeah. So it's kind of, so like what surprises me back to your question is how are we still selling this high price stuff? But here's the thing. When I go to Texas Roadhouse, I still have to wait in line. Yeah, when true. I go to Logan's Roadhouse, when I go to any, you know, we have these meetings that, you know, we try to eat at steak restaurants or something like that, being in the cattle industry. But, you know, when we go to these restaurants, we're all waiting in line. And, you know, like, you know, you take the big events that go on and stuff like that. Well, let's go out to dinner. What's the first thing you're going to order? I'm going to order a steak because you're paying for it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we get a steak and we do that stuff. I'm baffled at the thing at how we're still selling this stuff as high as it is compared to what we did. But is this the new trend? You know, and so far for the past 2 years, this is the trend.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Ryan. Well, I mean,
ever since COVID, it just exploded.
Yeah. This is the trend. Yeah. The trend is to have higher prices. And I think everyone is adjusting to it. So I think this here could be, you know, with a fluctuation of $10 to $20 or something, on the call side of things, you know, like here's a good example for our slaughter bulls this week. Our slaughter bulls was right around $1.40 a pound. Now they was up to $2 a pound at one time.
But
where, you know, a bull, they use that meat mostly to cut the cow meat down because it's lean, leaner, you know, like that. And they kind of mix it together and all that other stuff. So, you know, I do know that there is a couple packing plants that have shut down one day a week. They're not running 5 days. They're only running 4 days because they do have meat setting there, but it's kind of that time of year. I mean, you know, what did we eat last month? Turkey. we ate turkey and ham.
We had prime rib.
Yeah. I know. But you know, like that's the general public. They eat turkey on Thanksgiving. So, you know, I don't know.
And lots of leftovers.
Yeah, the Angus Association has done a great job advertising, but they still haven't got the bird out of the way on Thanksgiving. You know, I mean that's the basic point of it. But it's just one of those things that
they walk through a turkey barn that would eat them.
Yeah, that's for sure. But we have
it's true.
We just have a lot of. We have a lot of positives going for us right now in the beef industry. And, you know, like I say, with that market being high, I think this is the trend for a while. And I think it's going to set in here and stay in here because I don't see it going down because the people that are in it now, and you got the people, like I said earlier, they're wanting to buy more cows. I know even on our end of it, you know, if we find a good deal on cows, we're running probably our max capacity, you know, at our farm on cows that we need to run per acre. But if we can find a good deal, We're going to take advantage of it because why wouldn't we? Because that calf, you know, in 6 months is worth another $1,000. And then, you know, that goes back into this time of year, you know, calving season. We've either hit it, in it, or getting ready to be in it. One or the other. So, you know, this time of year, every little calf that's born, that's $1,000 bill that comes out. All right. $1,000 bill, no matter which way you look at it, that's $1,000.
Wow.
You know, and then it's, you know, worth $100 a month every month after that you keep it alive pretty much. So, you know, that's a big incentive for a farmer to make sure everything works out too. So whenever that stuff starts working out, you're wanting to maintain stuff, you know,
you're checking those cattle every day.
Overnight, you're checking cattle.
Yeah.
Overnight, your facility somehow just got better because you're, you know, hey, I need that new corral system. Hey, I need that new chute. I'm going to need to add onto the barn. I'm going to put a roof over these cows. You know, we're gonna fix a better way to feed these things. So, you know, and as we're doing that, we're helping the whole industry, you know, and taking a little bit of relief off of the crop farmer that's maybe not buying that new tractor, but they're buying, you know, a new skid loader to clean the barn out, or maybe they're buying something else to, you know, help on another end of the spectrum to kind of keep the, you know, even the farm equipment people alive.
Yeah, yeah. Those babies, the value of that will get you up at 3 a.m. for that, to go check cows when you've done it for, you know, 10 days in a row and you're getting tired.
Yeah. That's a pretty good reward. You know, like I say, when we come in here, I tell you the story about, you know, we had a cow with her head locked in a gate last night, a show calf, you know, Jeff, you know how much this thing probably costs. So for our
listeners that might not know, a show calf is worth a lot more than the hamburger cattle we were talking
about.
It's really...
When it comes to showing cattle, people ask me, is there a lot of money in it? I say, yes, I put it there.
Yeah, that is right. There's a lot of money in it for whoever received the check. So anyways, you know, you come home and you have this cow, you know, and this is the way you got to look at it as a farmer. As a show cow or not a show cow, that cow's worth X amount of dollars. Okay. So that, let's say that cow at my sale barn yesterday was worth $1,700. Okay. Well, she's probably worth eight times that on a piece of paper. But when she's got her head locked in that gate, you know, and brand new gate, brand new everything, she's stuck in it. Okay. So, you know, the first thing that happens is you get a phone call from your son that he's in panic and, you know, somebody else is calling you and you know, you're thinking, where's the sawzall? Where's this? Where's that? What am I going to do? And you know, from the, like you said, we live 2 miles away from the school. So we leave the school last night. We're 2 miles away and there's probably a million things that run through your mind of how this is going to go down. Everything was fine. We were good. We got it out. Everything's fine. The heifer's eating feed this morning. We're okay. But it's just the thought of it. So,
sure.
You know, you become a lot more precautious about what's going on in your environment, you know, for your livestock whenever worth this much money.
Yeah.
Well, and nowadays, if that cow doesn't produce, you know, she doesn't get a lot of second chances when the market's as high as it is.
Well, yeah. And like I say, the slaughter cow market there yesterday, you know, we topped out at 135 or something, 36, something like that on cows. And that, this is obviously the middle of December. That's a pretty good price. Now we have hit 170, 80, you know, on cows back last summer. And so like, you know, and that brings up another point that follows back into what we said earlier, you know, If we keep getting rid of them because of something minor, like, you know, she lost the calf. Well, was it her fault or was it our fault? Was it the weather or was, you know, did we have her in the best place and she lost it? Was it born dead? You know, like, or maybe she's like, oh, well, it's 8 years old. She weighs 1700 pounds. So I'm going to cash that thing in and, you know, buy something else or get another heifer. So there's a lot of variables that go in there. And I think that, We actually had a couple cows yesterday that come in and the farmer said, well, they lost their calves and we bring them in there and we had farmer buyers buy them back and be like, hey, we know she had a calf. We don't know the story, but we're going to try her on our farm. So, you know, it's there's a lot
of different chances, huh? Redemption.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think back to, I've never sold one because she produced too well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Nobody. Right.
Yeah.
Well, there is that man eater. She's a good producer, but she kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know that it's funny because I deal a lot with every type of farmer and you know, you got your, I'm going to say these farmers are more like ranchers. You got some farmers that are more like ranchers around here. You got some farmers that go all the way to the other spectrum of, I go to town at 8 o'clock and do my job and I come back home and I feed my five cows. And if they need a bale of hay, I call my neighbor and he drops a bale of hay in there. Or I call, you know, the feed store. They bring us 15 bags of feed and, you know, I feed them a little bit of grain. I scratch their head every day and we're done. Now, what's more important? They're both important. They're both very important. They're both going to make, they both have the same opportunity to make the same amount of profit. One may have five head, one may have 500 head.
Yeah,
but
sure.
They both have the opportunity to make the same amount of profit per cow. And that's where I think people are seeing that, you know, like getting back into the business. Hey, I can buy two or three cows and keep them there on my property. And, you know, hey, yeah, I might have to rent a bull, but hey, that's an extra $3,000 that grass was just growing anyway.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's right.
And you know, like I say, if you get one that's wild and crazy, like, you know, that's probably not one that I'm going to send to somebody. That's probably not one that you're going to sell to somebody. But, you know, like I know there for a while, that cute little fuzzy, you know, cow that shows up on all the shirts and TVs, the Highlanders right now, you know, those was a big thing. And like people giving $3,000 and $4,000 for a baby calf.
$6,000. I got a buddy that's got, runs an online auction deal. They sold those little fluffy cows.
Yeah.
I mean, and the sad thing is, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, these people are buying these things. And yeah. His last sale, they averaged $6,000.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh. For like a bunny, like a pet almost.
Yeah. And they're all on the bottle still. And take you a bottle calf home for $6,000.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've heard the stories the same way, but that's one thing, you know, we kind of laugh about that, but then me and you might go out and give 10 or 20,000 for a show calf too. So, but, you know what I'm saying? But anyways, it's the same scenario, but here's my thing with it. If we can get more of those people that would never buy a cow, but they're buying it 'cause it's cute. Yeah. If we get more of those people to understand the livestock marketing side of stuff or the livestock in general, the general care, what it takes to do it, you know, they tell a friend, the friend comes over and they're wanting to pet the cow. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing. Good PR. I mean, that's what we want. We just don't want the guy that goes and buys that $6,000 cow and a cup of milk from McDonald's and says, "Hey, this thing won't drink." You know, and like, you know, I don't know what to do. That's the biggest thing is, you know, trying to educate those people a little bit, because we still do get people come to the stockyards and I'll be like, "We want to buy a cow." Okay.
What are you going to do with it?
They're like, I don't know.
We'll put it in my minivan and take it home.
You're exactly right. So we had a guy come in there. I told this story one other time. We had a guy come in there one time with a minivan. He bought this 400-pound bull calf that was probably one way I wouldn't sell the guy because he's crazy. He buys this thing and he says, "Put it in the van." I said, "What are you going to do once we get it in the van?" I said, "That thing will run through your front windshield." "Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine." I'm like, "I'm not putting it in the van." He's like, "Oh, yeah, it's fine." And like, I told him, I was like, "Listen, we just pretend like we never met and like, let's just not do this." And I said, "Let's wait till you get a facility. I could come to your house. I could tell you what you need." "Oh no, you just don't want to sell me the calf." "You're right, because I know what's going to happen here.
It's going to kill you."
Yeah. But it is stuff that happens. I've seen them, I got TikTok and all this other stuff I watch, and I've seen them do it. They'll load them right in the side. We put some pigs in a lady's car the other day. I mean, I'm talking like a $70,000-$80,000 car.
No.
And she bought 5 little pigs out of the stockyards, and she says, "Throw them in the back." And I said, "Okay."
You know what I mean? Like in the back seat?
In the back part of that, like where it lays down in that third row or whatever. Yeah.
Pigs.
Little pigs that was dirty and nasty. Yeah. 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 She won't take them home. What do you do?
Can you imagine her calling her husband? "Hey, honey, guess what I'm bringing home?"
And I told her, I said, "You do know that these things are going to, you know, manure and stuff here, and you know, like that." And she's like, "It'll be fine. We'll take it to the car cleaner guy or something like that." And I'm like, "It might be the last time you take it there, because I don't think it, you know what I'm saying?" Like, and I was like, "Man, I feel sorry. I don't have no sheets. I don't have no blankets. I would almost back up and put some sawdust in there." And then one of the guys, he was like, "I'll take care of her," you know, and he walked back here. I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "We just threw him in the back and told her to get out." And I was like, "But you know, like, it's one of those, it's also one of those things. Like, what do you, you know, how do you, you know, like, I slept that night and I'm not worried about it. It's not nothing bad. I didn't, you know, no one's in danger here. Like the calf would run through the front of the windshield or cause you to wreck. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's some people we got to educate just a little bit more about how
they need to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that was a good way to learn, but you know, and that might've been one of the best. I should tell that as the prank or
that's
something.
A good
one. Yeah.
I'd love to see the outcome of all that when she went home.
Never know. Never ask. Nope, I'm done with it.
Some of these stories will require some more follow through on your.
Yeah, I know.
You need to write a book. A day in the life of the stockyards. Cause you've probably seen some things.
It is. I tell you, I try to take pictures, and one of the reasons I got Snapchat on my phone was to take pictures of stuff just to put out there.
I'm gonna start following you.
You know, just to put out there so people would like see what's in the sale barn. Because you know, I've walked in there before and seen a water buffalo that somebody brought in.
A water buffalo.
A water buffalo. Yeah. You know, with the big brow horns. Yeah. And stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Water buffalo. We've
was
seen.
It mean? Huh? Was it me?
Yes, sir. It was very me. Yes, sir. Yeah. And even last week we come in there and the guy says, you know, everybody's either got the old pit bull that we never causes a trouble, that when they're pulling in, the trailer shaking, it's just vibrating. And this thing is, you know, its eyes are, you know, half dollars. And this guy's like,
it's like the cartoon. He's got the red. Yeah. Yeah. Bloodshot eyes.
And the worst problem is this farmer will be 85 years old, driving an old one ton truck with a trailer on the back. And he'll say, oh, this is Rufus. And he'll be like wanting to like try to get. And I'm like, dude, listen, my job is to protect you. You stay behind this gate. And he's like, well, he's never heard a fly, you know, like, and I'm and come off there and bounce off the wall and try to jump three gates. And like, it's, and you know, there's a reason why they're there. The reason that bull got there was because the, you know, the guy was obviously done with him, wanting to improve his genetics, buy another bull, kept heifers back, whatever. But
he wants that same docility, yeah. EPD.
Yeah, but you know, and that, and I've been to many places where I've bought cows on the farm where we was, you know, we walk out amongst them and everything was fine. We put a trailer out there and we put them in a different environment, and it's, you know, it is a light switch that turns on, and it's not that way with every one of them. But but like I say, you never know what's going to come in. You know that's the joy. You know, I always told him, I was like, I don't really work at the stockyards for the money. I work for it just to get the interaction with the people and the livestock, because it is just amazing, because you never know who you're going to meet and you never know what's going to walk through that door. We sold a cow and a calf yesterday, and that the cow could walk under this table, and her calf was even littler than that.
Really?
Yeah. And you know,
that, like, little cow's probably worth $6,000 at one of those auctions.
And you're right. And so, like, I bid it up to a pretty good chunk, and I was like, man, this is dumb. What am I doing? My dad would shoot me if I brought something like that home, you know, like, you know,
pet cows.
Yeah. And so, and so anyways, I'm like, oh gosh, there ain't no way. I just, what am I doing here? You know, we're, you know, $1,000 or something. And I'm like, honestly, I mean, I really think I could resell that thing for $2,500 to $3,000. But I was like, you got, like I say, it's an auction. So you got about 30 seconds to say, hey, you in or you out, yeah. You know, it's just the thrill of it. It's the excitement of it. Like, fun. Like I go to work every Tuesday and I'm like, what am I going to do today?
What's the craziest or maybe even the dumbest thing that you've taken home from the sale?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'd say zebra. I've took a lot of dumb stuff home. No, I bought the zebra after the sale one time off a guy, but I don't know. You'd have probably had to ask my kids. it was funny there for a while. They would get excited every time I come home. Whenever I pull in the driveway with the trailer, they like come running out the house and they're like, what did you buy today? I don't know what it would have been, the craziest thing.
Those longhorns.
I buy a lot of longhorns. I do.
See more of those.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a few around. We kind of collect them, I guess you might say.
Sal would like some grass fed longhorn steaks.
Yeah. We're getting some Wagyus.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I do have half a Wagyu for sale. Yeah, like I say, I don't know what to create. I've bought some crazy things through there. I mean, I've bought anything from a cow that's probably 2 foot tall. I mean, like legit 2 foot tall. I'll tell you the best thing I bought, and I don't know, I think it's been 3 years ago. It was about this time of year. The market was soft. You know, I was thinking cows, your best cow was bringing 80 cents or something like that. And we had these two little mini cows come in, and they probably weighed 400 pounds or something like that. And they was kind of skinny. And I remember I gave $84 for one and $82 for another one. I took them home and I was like, I'm just going to turn them out, see what happens. I took them home and turned them out. Since then, I've sold two calves off each one.
Really?
Of them. Yeah.
Turned out good.
Oh, it's turned out really good. Cause like I said, it's funny because I just breed them to whatever bulls I got out there in the lot. Don't never think about, you know, genetics of it or anything like that. And these cows are, I would say that two of them could fit in a lot of my cows and maybe three of those could fit into some of my cows. And they wean off a calf that is almost the same exact size as my big cows.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, man, you know, like if I could do this, but I've never followed through on the other end of it. I'm sure they kind of quit growing at some point. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to hurt the other person, but at the same time, you know, at like $80 a piece in these cows that are putting out $1,000 to $1,200 feeder casts, you know? So I mean, like, it's one of those things. And then, you know, I like on our end of the world of the show calves, I bought show calves out of the sale barn that's went on to win national shows. So
isn't that something?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of those, you never know what you're going to get into and you never know what's going to be there. I mean, even from, you guys know what Mangalese pigs are?
Yeah.
They're like a blue collared pig, and they got like wool instead of hair or something like that.
Kind of cool looking.
Yeah. We get people that have those around here, and I'm like, that is awesome. You know?
Yeah. Just, where do they come from?
I don't know, but they say they're like really good meat and all this stuff. And I've never tried one at all, but
they'll farrow outside in the snow. I mean, they're hardy.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's just exciting because you never know what you're going to get in there. Yeah. You guys have to come down and visit one day.
We're going to now. We'll have we may do an on-site.
We'll do a live podcast. Yes.
Yeah, we should. Board. We should. We'll do it right in the cell ring. Yeah.
We might do that. We've been on the road before.
Sal has to buy something on air.
Yeah, we can do that.
Why me?
We'll set it up.
Because it'll be funnier that way.
Yeah. And I'll deliver it to his house.
There you go.
I know he will.
He can get it in the backhoe.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, that's probably a good place to stop for the day.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we have covered a lot of ground, but it's been a lot of fun. And I think one of the messages that you came out was the market is good. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun talking about it. And
hey, real quick, though.
Yes, sir.
Just recap us. We're middle December. What's the fat and feeder prices and stuff? Can you just give us a recap?
Yeah. So on we started out yesterday. I think we only sold like 270 head. This will be our last sale before the end of the year. We'll shut down next week. Obviously Christmas is next week and then the New Year's, but, you know, we're right in the middle of December. First couple of weeks in December, our feeder calf market has been on top of the world. We talked about that earlier. You know, 5-weight steers, we sold a set of 5-weight steers in that 3-10-15 mark. We sold some 4-weights in 3-30s and 40s. You know, just outstanding market on the feeder calves, especially for this time of year. It's amazing. Now, I ain't going to say that, you know, some of the lower quality or number two type cattle or some collared calves or something like that, you know, those calves are going to bring in that 260, 270 mark on the number ones and then off from there. But, you know, on the fed cattle side of it, yesterday we topped out at 194, I think it was, on our fat steers and heifers. So, you know, those are prime and choice. The big catch is there's 36 back on the select. So you got to know, you got to be up on your game and know that, you know, if you're thinking it might be a select, go ahead and mark her back because, you know, those things are worth about $1.80, $1.81. So, you know, it's a bit about 10 cent difference in the live price. And then we talked about the cows and bulls, I think a little bit. Cows going to be somewhere in that $1.20 to $1.30 mark, probably on average. And then the bull's probably going to be around $1.30 to $1.40. So, you know, that's kind of the middle recap. I do look forward to, I'd say probably the end of January, the 1st of February. I think this feeder calf market's going to blow up.
Wow.
Yeah, and they can, and you can see these on the website, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so if you get on our website, you can go to uproducers.com. You can scroll down our tab. We got 17 market locations. You can click on Little York or whatever one's closest to you. I run the Little York one right now, and you can check on that, check our prices, check on any of our prices, or you can just check it out. Even if you just go to your futures app or something like that, you can go in and check the futures and kind of get a rough idea of where stuff's at.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us again. And so we'll keep this market strong. We'll have you back in another 6 months.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, that's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much. Thank you.